Welcome to the Apria podcast series. This episode finds us in conversation with Ms. Pushpa Bector, Executive Director of DLF Retail. Journalist Mark Cooper speaks with Pushpa about her beginnings in the retail sector and how much has her typical working day changed since the COVID-19 pandemic. Pushpa will share with us mentors who have influenced her and shared advice to female executives starting out in the Indian real estate business. Pushpa will also give us a comments on how DLF's malls have evolved in the past couple of years, what have been the biggest changes, and what are her ambitions for DLF Retail.
This is the Apria podcast with Mark Cooper, and today I'm talking to Ms. Pushpa Bector, who's Executive Director at DLF Retail in India. Pushpa, welcome.
Hi, Mark. Thank you for having me on your show.
Great to have you here. I thought we'd start with a few questions about you, I think, and your career. So you started your career, I understand, in hospitality and F&B. And I thought it would be interesting for you to talk a little bit about how these experiences have helped you with your career in retail property and with shaping DLF Retail. So tell us a bit about that.
Well, actually, I started my career with hotels. I was part of the Oberoi School of Learning, which is one of the prime hotel management institute across Asia. I started there in 86 for my post-graduation. And after that really helped me in understanding the nuances of eye for detail and consumer focus, consumer quality focus. And I do think that a hospitality experience was formed a good foundation for my retail career therein. Beyond that, I actually caught there were a lot of retail brands coming into the country around that time, which was around 91. And Domino's and KFC were two brands which were the first ones to enter the country. And I happened to join Domino's Pizza as a marketing manager. And that's how, I started my foray into retail. And I realized that my interest lay in the fact that there was a lot of startup energy in an organization like Domino's Pizza. We literally taught the country how to eat the right pizza, home delivery as a concept. These were the pioneering initiatives by Domino's. And the marketing manager really got a very, very good sort of opportunity to bring in best practices from across the international best practices to India at that point. Today, it is a vanilla, but at that time, it was a pioneering effort. So it was wonderful. I launched three zones for Domino's Pizza, both, north. We started with North India, then we went on to West, then to the South. So 5-6 years of very, very good startup experience there. And beyond that, I went into another organization called the Apollo International. They wanted a CEO for a Chuck E. Cheese-like concept, which was Funky Orbits. Again, it was the first mall that was established in the country, Ansal Plaza, and Funky Orbits was an anchor tenant over there. Again, a beautiful entrepreneurial startup experience, setting up Funky Orbits in Mumbai as well as in Delhi. So I think my career, fortunately for me, I got exposure from the first malls, the first retail brands, and I really grew in the retail landscape during its very, very nascent growth stage. And hence the learning was tremendous. That helped me set the right kind of benchmarks and the right kind of platform for my shopping malls foray with DLF.
Okay, great. Now, obviously, like a lot of people, I'm sure your typical working day has changed since the start of the COVID-19 epidemic. Tell us a bit how you kind of survive and thrive in these times. And I'd be interested to know if any of the changes to the way you work now are likely to become permanent in future.
Well, for starters, I think Zoom and Microsoft Teams is the way we started from March 19th on. I think these two technologies are going to remain with us to a large extent. I think most of us have understood the benefits of a Zoom call. We can, instead of traveling, have very good conversations with international tenants or like you, Mark. Across the country, we have retail real estate conferences now going on. Yesterday, I was part of a CII virtual conference. Now, this could have been unimagined last year. But I think for going forward now, virtual conferences, virtual interactions, and virtual meetings will be here to stay at least for 50% of the time. Now, other than that, I do think that, you know, from a work day point of view, things got really more intense. During lockdown, I think I worked harder than ever before because my entire industry got disrupted, as you know, the malls industry. The malls with us to ensure that, you know, the industry doesn't collapse. So we really did a lot of risk analysis during lockdown to understand who are the people who are vulnerable and who are they who are not vulnerable and what's the support we should give them. So all that kept us extremely busy, and we engaged with the retailers a lot more than what we engaged earlier. In a strange way, I think crisis brings you closer. That adage really helps. So a typical day for me now is that post-June, we had to restart the malls. And I believe in leading things from the front. So I did help my center heads to restart the malls. And I was physically present there. But having said that, 2 days of the week, I work from home. Couple of days in the corporate office and couple of days in the malls. That's typically how the work day is. And typically what is also happening is that even when we are in the offices, we are looking at both using technology a lot more than what we used to in order to work. I think that's the way the world order has changed.
Yes, yeah, definitely. Do you miss the travel? Would you like to travel more when things get back to normal? Do you think you're relieved that you can do it via Zoom rather than getting on a train or plane?
No, Mark, I think, for example, if there is a large brand interaction, yes, we can do a lot of work on Zoom or technologically we can interact through video conferencing. But going to the property, seeing the space, I think from a brick and mortar retail space, travel is important. We cannot... I love traveling because it gives me an understanding of the culture. It gives me an understanding of why a certain brand is doing the way it is. What is their brand culture and how are they planning to make their foray into the country and a complex country like India? So I definitely think travel is required. But I guess what we had started doing is we started traveling as a matter of, as a matter of habit. Now we will think twice. If we need to avoid a travel, we would.
Yeah, me too. So just finally on your career, do you have any mentors who have influenced you, who have been significant in your career path? And also, as you're a mentor to lots of people as well, what advice would you give to female executives starting in the Indian real estate business?
Well, mentors, what I have had is that I've had people who have influenced me by their manner of working, et cetera, and they have been, it's not one person who has mentored, but I would say a series of them. So when I started in Domino's, I remember being very influenced by the way Mr. Bhartia, who was a promoter of the company, he would know how to create a startup with very minimal financial outlay. That really influenced me into saying you can create something very large, but not spend a bomb for it. As I went ahead, then, I've always looked at my bosses, my immediate bosses, my super bosses, who happen to be entrepreneurs, large industrialists. I would look up to them and seek their advice. I can talk about Mr. Kanwar. I can talk about Mr. Bhartia. And over here, Ms. Pia Singh and Mr. Rajiv Singh. They are all people who sort of influence you, because they understand how to interact and create large businesses. And I think that is one mentorship that I always keep in mind. At a personal level, there have been people, right from my aunt, who was a very strong woman during my childhood, who really influenced me into saying that you can have it all. You can be a great career person as well as a great mom. I think she, Indira Varadarajan, influenced me in a particular way. Beyond that, I would say I have had some very, very good people who I have taken advice from. be it, DLF, I have Mr. Sriram Khattar, Mr. Rajiv Talwar, who are all people who have sort of given the right advice to me at the right time. I also have in my previous organization, people like Mr. Raja Kanwar, who has also advised me very well at the right time. So I think I've been fortunate in having people who have advised me for my career and in order to take on some challenges. I remember clearly, you know, when I was offered Mall of India, it was a greenfield project, and it meant that I had to wipe out whatever I had done earlier and I had to restart afresh at Mall of India. That was a tough call to make because I had already built up Promenade and I wanted to continue there. But this was a tough call to give up what you had built and restart. I did ask, the people in DLF itself, Mr. Khattar, Mr. Talwar, and all of them said, you take it on because this is what will differentiate you from the rest. And I think that was very good advice. And it did differentiate me. So yes, as a woman, what I would always tell people that as a woman to stand out, you have to think out of the box and be collaborative. But at the same time, do not hesitate in speaking your mind. I think some of us women, even in the corporate space, I see hesitate in taking risks, speaking their minds. And I, for one, have been, an example of actually speaking out exactly what I feel, even be it in a board meeting or be it in, a one-to-one session with the bosses. So I think that's what differentiates you, because you have to appear as a person who's got a clear-cut thought leading to an opinion. And that opinion has to be shared for the organization to feel that she's a thinking leader. I think that's one thing that women can bring to the table. And women always are great at multitasking, I feel. And, real estate, erstwhile real estate was male dominated. I did notice that. But now I'm happy to see so many more women, especially in the retail space, coming in, because we bring in that special touch and feel. We understand the product a little bit more in the retail real estate space because we are shoppers, we are consumers, as avidly as we are people who are developing the space. So that gives us a very good on-ground touch and feel. And my strong thing to women out there would be think, be a thinking leader, speak out, and certainly be a person who is sort of leading from the front.
Great. You mentioned Mall of India. That's interesting from one sense, just because of the sheer scale. I believe it's about 2 million square feet. Can you tell us a bit about the particular challenges of managing such a substantial retail asset?
It was challenging because that mall, when I took over, I literally operated out of a project site for 3 years. You know, it was very challenging to it. People had not seen a mall which was 6 levels. So we converted that challenge to our advantage. What I did is I zoned the mall. And till I had done that, I don't think anyone in the country had really created zoning. So we had international brands in the first 2 floors. And we had created and curated a second floor completely for the Indian high street brands. Now, they were never given the pride of place. And here we gave them an entire floor plate dedicated to the Indian high street. And the third floor was the F&B and entertainment on the fourth. So, and we also had a lower ground, which had the hypermarket and all the value brands. So when we zoned it and branded it, that became, that achieved 2 things for us. The challenge was we didn't have enough brands to fill that property. With zoning it in this manner, we expanded the market. The high street players got into an organized space like a Mall of India. So it was win-win on both sides. And we actually converted that to an opportunity for us. And I'm happy to share with you that the second floor, which was always the death knell for every mall, became our strongest point at Mall of India. That's one. And the second is, of course, a large mall like this, we are on the banks of Yamuna. So there's a lot of rusting that happens. We had to come up with ways and means to ensure that the rusting of the LED screens shouldn't get spoiled. We had to come up with various mechanisms on anti-rust for our space out there. So that's the other thing that we have done. And that's an ongoing practice, really. But Mall of India is one such mall, which I would say since today, Uniqlo is just opened. Every brand that is there in the country, or it's their first port of call. Today, they have to be present at Mall of India to announce that they are, you know, a serious player in the mall's business. So I think what we've achieved is we've set that benchmark to being the best.
Okay, yeah, that that branding is important for malls. How else have DLF's malls evolved in the time that you've been working for the company? I mean, what would you point to as the biggest changes that have happened over the time you've been working there?
Yeah, so I think the biggest change is I see a more evolved consumer today. The consumer is not, 10 years back, she or he were just sort of, they were traveling, but they were not really brand aware. Now they are brand aware, they're merchandise aware. The consumer today is planning their shopping far more than what they used to even 5 years back. They browse online, they know the styles. Before they come into Zara, they know this is the style that I want to go for, 5-6 of them. They're very targeted. So that's one huge consumer change that I see. The other consumer change that I see is that they're more technologically aware. And so malls had to really step up on that. We were, 10 years back, there was hardly any technology intervention in a property. Today, we have to create, and it's a must to create a smart mall where everything is digitized, A. And B, there is also an omni-channel approach to malls, which is a clear reality that we need to recognize and, deal with. That's the second aspect that I would say that's changed. The third is that, our operational excellence is a constant evolving subject. But I think we as an organization have become so much more proficient in ensuring that we get the LEED certifications, we get, green building certifications, we get, recently the British Safety Council has given us a sword of honor for all our properties, including the commercial and the retail properties. So what we have done is we've become much more international accreditation oriented in our approach and operations, with, making sure that the guidelines are as current as it can get. So these are the three things that I could very clearly see is the difference. One, of course, is the international outlook to operations and accreditations. The second is the technology interventions. And the third, of course, is the consumer themselves evolving.
Okay. And thinking now a bit more further in the future, what's your ambitions for DLF Retail? Do you think we might see a shopping center REIT in the future?
Oh, I think the whole idea of DLF Retail getting clubbed together and becoming a strong unified force is so that we build ourselves in developing a REIT. The REIT in our case need not be just a shopping center REIT. It would be a commercial REIT, including both the offices and retail together. But certainly, I think, especially because we've got investments from GIC, we understand the strength of listing ourselves as a REIT. And yes, that would be something that we would look at in the future. But as far as the ambition for DLF Retail itself is concerned, is today we are recognizing the omnichannel challenge. And we recognize that we need to be aware of how omnichannel, retail is going to change the way shopping centers are. And we are really looking at, we've created an unified app in Lookout. We have an app which is the first step for us to create that omnichannel approach. And we have started developing that. The Lookout app today is helping shoppers becoming more safe, helping, them giving digital appointments through WhatsApp for their shopping. Those are the first steps, taking Lookout into a unified omnichannel platform.
Yeah, I was listening to somebody talking for an online webinar the other day who said that a shopping mall app should be like a personal assistant for the shopper. Would you agree?
Absolutely. In fact, I would request you to download the Lookout app. It's called DLF Lookout, available in the App Store. What it does is that if you go to, say, Promenade, all the malls are there. So you click on Promenade, you like Cover Story, a brand. You can click on Cover Story, a certain look. And if you want to talk, it will take you right on a Snapchat with a WhatsApp chat with the concierge. The concierge will happily book a digital appointment with the Cover Story shop assist, and you will actually be able to shop without stepping into the mall. So, and you can order for a curbside checkout. So we are looking at innovative ways of reaching out. Personal shopping is here to stay. So personal shopping will get more and more evolved. And we've started this process from the month of June, but this is just going to get stronger and stronger.
Fantastic. And let's talk a bit more generally about the retail market in India. Obviously, India is a huge and diverse nation. You've got a lot of variation in climate, in culture and language across the nation. How different does the retail offering need to be in different states or in different cities?
Oh, quite different, actually. Interestingly, we are creating in our Chennai property down south. Currently, we are creating a hub. It's not Cyber Hub, it's the hub, which is within a large SEZ center that we have. And we are also coming up with another project, which is called Downtown Taramani in South Chennai. Now, when I look at how Chennai is and the kind of brands that work there, it's very different to how Delhi as a market works or Delhi NCR works. So we will need to treat that very differently. We do a lot of markets research to understand how does Chennai, the market, work. Over there, you'll be amazed to know that even today, the top sellers in F&B happens to be the branded players of KFC, Domino's Pizza, or Pizza Hut. And the bars are just coming in there. So, you know, the market is in the nascent stage and is evolving where F&B is concerned, but they're highly evolved when it comes to traditional wear. So we really do a lot of research to understand how Chennai looking for as an aspirational step up, because DLF stands for an aspirational lifestyle. So we always go beyond what is the expectation of the consumer in that particular time by stepping it into a more premium aspirational space. So our brand mix is also a reflection of the same thing. We see that Chennai, on the other hand, when we are, when we develop that, that's very different. When if I go, let's say, develop something in Goa, that's going to be very, very different because, India as a country has got so many seasons. And say a brand like Uniqlo has no relevance in Goa because Uniqlo is so winter focused and it'll have relevance there. So we will need to be very, very clear on what is the fashion that works in a particular space, what's the kind of food that works in a particular space. So food also is so evolved now. People have their own very clear local tastes. And we always have to keep that in mind. And I, for one, believe a lot in the Made in India brands. There are so many young brands that are coming into the country, entrepreneurs. They're being developed. And those brands are actually doing a great job. The sensibilities are very, very high. Design sensibility or product sensibility is very high, and we do encourage them at DLF. So it's a diverse country, and hence we really need to treat each project as a separate project which has to work for that micro market.
Great. Okay. Obviously, India is still, like many countries, struggling with the COVID-19 pandemic. But when it ends, do you think that the retail will gradually return to normal, or will there be permanent changes in the way that both people shop and the way that you operate retail?
Well, I'm a hardcore brick and mortar believer. I believe that this COVID has turned people into the digital space or digi wallet and purchase digitally for all their essentials. But when it comes to community activities, when it comes to great spaces to dine or great spaces to touch and feel and shop, malls will always be relevant, especially in Delhi NCR. I think what will happen is with the pandemic, what's happened is the tier 3, tier 2 cities have got more digitally savvy quicker than what it was earlier. There will be few brands which will get extinct in the brick and mortar space if it is very commodified, and they will move into the digital space. For example, I do see that the hypermarket will cease to exist. There is no need of a large hypermarket. There will be specialized supermarkets possibly, but the hypermarkets, it's just moved. It's so easy to buy grocery online now. And I think that is one huge category that will see a challenge in the near future. Okay. I believe that when it comes to the highly impacted categories like food and beverage, we'll actually see a V curve, a very sharp V curve after the COVID vaccine, because people are, there's so much pent up demand. People have realized how much they like going out and hanging out with their people. Also in India, India shops in communities. India doesn't shop singularly. It's always, you know, a family going out for shopping, or friends going out for shopping together, or sisters bonding together over. So I do believe that that is the experience that they seek. It's a holistic experience. And so people will come right back once the vaccine is, you know, in place, that they will come right back. But what will permanently shift is their method of planning. They will plan, they will analyze, and they will choose, because they have become much more digitally savvy. If they feel that the offline store is not as good as the online merchandise, then they will choose online, or vice versa. So it's really, the brands will play a very important role in keeping the mall space as energized as they keep the online, you know, space. That's one. The second is that I think, you know, Digi Wallet is here to stay. So possibly even later, people will just like to scan and just check out on a self basis pretty easily, because it's contactless, you know, and it's a new way of life. In India, we have a bank linked to what we call UPI, a unified digital code. Now, we've all understood the power of that, and people would like to just use UPI as a mode of payment. Someone yesterday in who is a highly placed official in Google tells me that today from UPI, people are making payments over 7 crores, and that's going to be changing to 200 crores in a matter of just 2 years. The digital payment will become a way of life. And hence, malls with our Lookout app have to look into that omni-channel approach for us to take advantage of the digital payment and also expand our markets. We have built a brand, and we will need to expand that in the digital space, certainly. So I think that's something that is here to stay. The third thing is that people, the way they navigate the store, they will expect much more technology interventions than what they had before. Even after the vaccinations, people will refrain from over-touching, over-feeling the space, you know, a product. So digital interventions in explaining products will become the way of life.
I just wanted to go back to your first point about how the brands themselves will have to work to maintain both a good on and offline offer in order to keep successful. How would you work with brands to help them do that?
Yeah, so we actually work a lot even during that fit out time intensely to help them to say, why don't you digitize your fit out room? Why don't we create magic mirrors? Why don't we? So we will, in fact, go 2 steps forward in making sure that we give them the best practices, especially the smaller brands, to ensure that they get technologically savvy. The second most important would be that, you know, maybe our omnichannel approach, we will need to integrate the smaller brands in that in the omnichannel approach in such a way that they get an advantage of being in a DLF property and expanding their market through the Lookout app. So possibly these two elements is how we will help their business being in a DLF property.
Okay, great. Something that that I've followed and written about quite a lot over the past 10 years or so has been the effect of the wealthy middle-class Chinese consumer in retail markets outside China. you know, they're important shoppers in Hong Kong, in Japan, and in the UK. Now, India is obviously on a similar growth trajectory with a middle class that's growing in number and wealth. Do you expect the prosperous Indian consumer to become a similar global phenomenon? And what will they look for? What should people do to kind of tailor the retail offer to them?
Well, actually, we do have a very wealthy middle class already. We have 500 million Indians on smartphones. And out of them, 77-80% of them are already online. And so we do have a very rich Indian middle class who've been traveling, who are globally savvy on what they want. And just like in China, in India, we've got millennials who are now we have the current generation is the millennial generation who will make India a very young and vibrant country. As you know, 50% of our population is going to be under the age of 30, and they are going to be the population that's going to drive retail in this country. So I do think that we are in that same spot that China was 20 years back or 25 years back in terms of demographic profile of the consumer here. Now, this demographic profile, with their English education and their internet savviness, throws a million opportunities for be it e-commerce players or food and beverage players or the shopping developers. So what we are looking at is that, for example, I'm looking at live commerce as a way of introducing live commerce within my DLF retail system, because live commerce, you know, is very, very big in China. I see that to be something of a great potential in India now. And that will also give, you know, the retailers a way to expand their market sitting inside a mall. So live commerce is something that is very Chinese-like. The second is, of course, their sheer, you know, like the way Alibaba and all the others have taken WhatsApp commerce to another level. I think India will also see a boom of that. And at the same time, the Indian middle class is a little bit more spoiled for choice, in the sense that they would want a very strong traditional base. They wouldn't go blindly after the Western fashion only. So they would look at luxury. They would look at Indian fashion for their occasions. And they would look at food and beverage for their lifestyle. So it will be a combination of these three that will define the way they will spend their money. You know, and that will differentiate it from the Chinese consumer who used to be purely Western wear oriented. That's not the case in India. And having said that, I feel that in order to woo the Indian middle class and the growing rich, we are, at DLF Retail, we are looking at not just conveniences, we are looking at customization, like personal shopping. We're looking at, shop on demand. We're looking at live commerce. But customization will also be a way of differentiating our consumer type, especially the luxury consumer.
Okay, you mentioned Indian brands earlier as well. I'd be interested to know about what potential they have for growth both within India and elsewhere.
Well, I think Indian brands today, because of the influence of Bollywood, has got a global recognition. People really like to wear Indian wear, which is not exactly just bling, but also a lot of fusion wear. There are many designers, you'll be amazed to know, who are exporting exclusively into Anthropology or LA or different markets like that. And people, what the potential that really Indian brands have is, it's exceptional quality in terms of weaves. The best weavers are in this great fabric, because breathable cotton fabric is the order of life in future. Sustainability, they look at sustainability very closely where Indian, the new age Indian brands are concerned. So, and their styles are not typically Indian, they're global. They're using the Indian base, but they're able to give it a very modern fusion touch to it. because of these four components, I think Indian brands today have created a very good platform to look at overseas also. And there are Indian brands, traditional Indian wear like Meena Bazaar is all over. We have, you know, brands like Da Milano, who is a leatherwear product. Now he's opening in Dubai and many other countries. So you're seeing Made in India brands going out there and creating a mark. And this is just starting. I think the best is yet to come, because this COVID has taught people how to, you know, internet shopping and internet business is a way of life now. Now, I do believe that the best is yet to come for this. There will be many Made in India brands which will go global post-COVID.
Right. And how else do you expect to see India retail evolve? And I suppose also, where would you like to see India retail go over the next 10 years, say?
So I think, you know, the Indian retail today, it's leveraged at a spot where people are understanding, you know, lifestyle improvement as something that they would like to do. And as I told you, our retail story is really linked to the fact that there are many millennials who are now the working population, and they are driving retail. They are driving spends. So the next 20 years is going to see this. Digital will become a big, big chunk of it. But at the same time, experiential retail will also be the major chunk. So I think that, you know, Indian retail, the way it is, it can, the organized retail space can more than double in its growth over the next 4-5 years. Because if you look, you know, even after COVID, the resurgence has been so good. Today, I have all my malls have come to 70% of the earlier levels of sale in a matter of just 3 to 4 months, which goes to say that, you know, people like to wear good clothes, be eating the right food. They're not going to compromise on that. So I do believe that Indian retail is here to grow and probably double from what it is today over the next 3 years. Some of the categories will only, you know, athletic leisure, for example, has done phenomenally well. And I believe the whole story on health and sustainability, whoever is understanding that, the need of the Indian consumer for health and sustainability, will see great growth. And so I'm pretty, you know, sort of optimistic about Indian retail doing really well.
Excellent. So just to kind of close off, where as we come out of the pandemic, there's going to be a lot of opportunities, and obviously growth in India is going to be amongst the highest in the world. So if you wanted to send a message to Apria members and to the wider real estate industry about the future and the situation, you know, a kind of a billboard message, what would you say to them? What would be your kind of key takeaway for everybody?
Well, I'll say that experiential retail and experiential lifestyle retail is here to stay. But at the same time, digital interventions has to be adopted at all times. So there will be a lot of digital interventions. And so the mantra will be digitally savvy and know your consumer, because they're changing every week. Know your consumer and believe that both brick and mortar and digital are both going to grow. So it really is a question of how evolved we are in both the spaces.
That's fantastic. Pushpa, thank you very much indeed. It's been a pleasure to speak to you.
Same here, Mark. It's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you for tuning into the Apria Leadership Podcast Series. We hope you've enjoyed listening to this podcast. We will be back soon with more episodes featuring industry leaders and dealmakers who specialize in cross-border transactions across Asia-Pacific. If you like what you've heard and would like to give us feedback on future podcast episodes, please contact Sigrid Zialcita at sigrid.zialcita@apria.asia for more information. Please check www.apriaasia or follow us on LinkedIn and Twitter @apriaasia to get the latest updates.